Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have come to the end of the regular season, but it ain't over for us. It's usually over for us this time of year, and there are coaching changes to talk about and draft choices in April to discuss, but not this year, and it seems like it might be the beginning of something new around here, and it's nice. Washington finishes off a 12-5 regular season with a 23-19 win over Dallas. Marcus Mariota to Terry McLaurin with just 2 seconds to go in regulation, and they will go to Tampa Bay Sunday night, 8 o'clock, in a wild card round playoff game. The Bucs are 3-point favorites. Joining us right now is our Washington Commanders team insider. He writes for The Athletic. His name is Ben Standig. You can follow him on X at Ben Standig. And, of course, you can listen to his podcast, Standig Room Only, or read him at The Athletic. He's outstanding writing and covering this team. You got back last night, which is nice, before the storm started. I'm assuming you got home before the snow started, right?
No, I didn't land until about 12:30. And when I got in my car, I mean, it wasn't like a lot.
Oh, that's right. You're not on the team plane. The people on the team plane, a couple that I talked to, said that they got out and got back just before it started.
Yeah. No, very, very different deal. But basically, my colleagues who were flying into Reagan or Dulles, their flights got canceled. I was flying into BWI, and I guess they decided that was good enough. And it really, I mean, it wasn't like that bad, but, you know, it was already starting to come down. The Beltway wasn't crowded, but, like, you know, it probably wasn't going more than like 40 to 45 miles an hour. You know, take it slow, and got home. And, yeah, now I look outside, and it looks very different.
All right, let's talk about the game yesterday, and then we'll talk about Sunday. So it was it was the most anemic offensive performance in the first half we've seen all season long. Although, what's interesting, and I'm sure you've done this, if you go back to the first Dallas game, it was pretty rough in the first half against the Cowboys in that game as well before they got rolling in the second half. But what happened in that first half, and do you know when Jaden got banged up? It was a report from Christina Pink that he had gone into the tent. And just talk about what you know in terms of when it happened, what happened, Quinn's decision, etc., at halftime to sit him and to come back in the second half with Mariota.
Yeah, I don't know exactly when he was hurt. I mean, he did say Jaden Daniels that, you know, in terms of, like, say, getting out of the pocket, things like that, that he was a little bit affected by this leg soreness. And, you know, that when you consider where this offense has been, not just all season, but certainly in recent weeks, where it's kind of Jaden Daniels or bust to a certain degree, right? Another game where the primary running attack was non-existent. The offensive line was giving up pressures. And so for him not to be at, you know, full strength, again, not saying it was like something overly debilitating. And he said if it had been, you know, some bigger stakes than just the sixth seed, he would have fought to stay in there. But, yeah, I mean, that had to have been some factor. They just, you know, it was that first half was really unsightly. They just did not have anything going at all. And, you know, look, these guys always play hard. I mean, you know, any NFL player more or less does, but it was the first time this year where it just looked like, man, I thought, like, wow, what is going on here? So just nothing is happening. And in a real way, they only had one drive over six plays, I want to say, in the first half. That was the field goal. And of course, when you're doing that, you know, you just don't sustain any kind of rhythm, and you're just not on the field a ton. So, you know, it doesn't sound like it's a huge deal, the injury. And I think Dan Quinn was probably right to play the cautious card and take Jaden out at that stage. Obviously, the way it worked out, you know, really was a good move. But yeah, I mean, of course, we're going to pay attention to anything that's going on with this quarterback. So we'll have to see. But it doesn't seem like it's a huge deal, but you know, we'll see. We'll learn more this week.
Did you feel, and I haven't gone back and watched it, but I just, it, you know, the second half, it seemed like Cliff adjusted a little bit. You had a lot more quick stuff. You had some quick stuff in the first half, but it just seemed like, once again, against the Cowboys in particular, they were getting manhandled at the line of scrimmage. They couldn't run the football with their running backs, certainly. And that he did a good job with Mariota sort of adjusting in the second half and getting the ball out of his hands much quicker.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. You know, I think one thing with Jaden, of course, is, you know, it's because he's a rookie, it's sometimes hard to think of this. But, you know, his ability to make plays out of nothing probably has Cliff thinking, hey, let's, you know, I don't need to get the ball out of his hand quickly. I need to give him opportunity to see the field, see what he can do, and then make a play, because he's obviously been doing that, you know, all season. But, you know, just the last game alone against Atlanta, he really willed this team to the finish line to get that win. But yeah, I mean, look, this is, you know, obviously we'll talk, I'll be back Friday to talk, and you'll talk about all week the Tampa game. Look, I think there is a lot of questions going into this, the offensive line being one of them. Not that, you know, Jaden has some factor into these sacks as well, but there's 20 sacks in the last four games. The teams are getting a lot more pressure on the pocket. And again, because of Jaden's extraordinary ability to escape, you know, it hasn't been as much of a problem as it probably could have been. But yeah, this is becoming a big deal. And then you factor in the running game. In recent games, the running game has been non-productive. In this game, it just flat out disappeared. I mean, it just wasn't even, they weren't even running the ball much. Brian Robinson's getting nowhere. Obviously, you know, not having Tyler Biadasz out there is a big deal, especially if you're going to try to run between the tackles. But, you know, there's just been nothing happening. I was surprised. Between all the other games that were going on simultaneously, the Green Bay game, the Tampa game, and then the snow issue where we're all trying to figure out our flights, I wasn't watching the play-to-play as much as I would normally. I was surprised that Austin Ekeler played more snaps than Brian Robinson yesterday in his first game back from the concussion. But I totally, you know, if he's healthy, then I totally get it, because nothing is working right now in that traditional power run game. And, you know, they're going to have to figure this out big time, because if they don't, then it's just going to put, you know, even more pressure on Jaden against a Tampa team that is fourth in the league against the run and has, you know, some pretty good, you know, front seven players like Vita Vea to get after him.
Yeah, their issue is really pass defense, and they've given up some, you know, big days to quarterbacks. But we're talking, of course, to Ben Standing. I actually, it's funny that you said that, because this morning before I had looked at the snap counts, I said to Denton, Ekeler played a lot more than I thought. And then I looked it up. He played 60% of the offensive snaps. And to me, that is, you know, that's a signal that they really wanted to make sure that he's ready, because they feel they really need him starting Sunday night in Tampa. And I think they do. And I think they were testing just to make sure that they were going to be okay with 30 next week, getting a lot of snaps and a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's twofold. One is that, yeah, I mean, the Ekeler, you know, there are times when you lose a player and you have to bring in a replacement, and just by sort of the definition of that, you're going to have a lesser, you know, talent on the field. But then there are times when you lose a player and you don't have the replacement, period. Like, just because they play the same position doesn't mean they can do the same things.
Yeah.
And they don't have anybody out of the backfield that can do what Ekeler does, combined with the fact that, the traditional run game is just not working right now. Getting Ekeler back is a huge deal. You know, last week I asked Dan Quinn, you know, prior to them having officially activated Ekeler, if there was anything to be said for just getting him on the field, because he'd gone through the concussion, you know, he mentioned memory loss, just anything to get him on the field, just to get him acclimated again, maybe, you know, get rid of some concerns or whatever. And he was like, no big deal, whatever. But yesterday, when the topic came up again, he said how much of a big deal it actually was to have Ekeler out there, just for his own, I think, sort of peace of mind, and for theirs, right, as well, to see him get out there, which, you know, again, that's why I asked the question, because it makes sense. So I do think it's a huge deal. And, yeah, I mean, based on how things go right now, again, it's Monday morning. Yes, I have not had a chance to go back and watch the game after the journey last night. But when you have Vita Vea out there and Canty, like, this is not a group I'm seeing a big game from Brian Robinson out of, let alone the fact that that hasn't been working. Eckler, on the other hand, is where it seems they could make some hay. So, yeah, I mean, he didn't have a huge production game yesterday, but I know Quinn said he was pretty happy with what he saw in terms of, you know, just his, you know, getting being out there, you know, his general movements, et cetera. So, yeah, I think Eckler is going to be a big deal for them this week.
Yeah, I do too. Biotish, Brandon Coleman. I mean, are we going to have both of those players next week or not?
Yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, you know, there's so much happening. We didn't really get an injury report on any of the guys. We'll talk to Dan Quinn later today. You know, Biotish, you know, I can't speculate it to the positive. You know, his ankle injury that he suffered against Atlanta, he was definitely in some pain. He didn't practice at all last week. And, you know, we'll have to see. These linemen, I typically, when we're like, you know, they'll rub some dirt on it and be fine, but, you know, that's not always how these things go. So, yeah. We'll see. I mean, it's a huge deal. Again, it would be a big deal under any circumstances, but again, particularly in this matchup where Tampa Bay's strength is the defensive line up the middle. So, yeah, to have either of those guys out would be a blow. And by the way, you know, again, Cornelius Lucas was inactive this week. So, you know, with a groin injury, we'll see where he's at. So it's not like you just have the automatic plug and play if Coleman were to be limited or out. So, yeah, they're definitely, you know, huge deals. Keep an eye on, you know, I'm sure you'll ask, but, you know, same thing, obviously, with Marshawn Lattimore. We knew that no matter who they were going to play, there would be some imposing receiver on the other side. That is Mike Evans, and he and Lattimore have this history that goes back to their NFC South days, and knowing how, you know, Mike Evans is a huge receiver, he's an excellent receiver, like, they have got to have Lattimore back out there, so that's going to be the other injury, obviously.
Yeah, Lattimore on defense, Biotish on offense, obviously the quarterback, but beyond that. So, we're talking to Ben Standing, of course. You and I think, have been in agreement on this, that the most vulnerable part of this team and the most concerning part of this team is their defense. And look, Trey Lance and the Cowboys, like, it was great in the red zone, although there was some self-destruction by Dallas. I mean, he had Dowdle wide open at the end of the half, pulled the string on it, completely choked on the throw. But they got to the red zone. I tried to emphasize this for everybody to understand how concerning it is. Dallas with Trey Lance advanced the football to the red zone 6 times in the game. No Lattimore, that obviously is a big deal, and they need him against Tampa. But this Tampa offense is dynamic. They're explosive. They've got players. And, you know, you've done this. I've done this. I mean, you know, starting with the Dallas game before Thanksgiving, Cooper Rush, Will Levis, Spencer Rattler, Kenny Pickett, Penix Jr. in his second game, and Trey Lance. So, what are they going to do Sunday night defensively? I mean, I think the key is they've got to score and they got to keep the ball on offense. But how much of a concern level is it for you? And give me some injury stuff on that end with respect to Lattimore in particular.
Yeah, I think it's very concerning. Yeah, but we've talked about this now for the last few weeks that, you know, the last time they beat a team with like a what we would consider to be a real viable starting quarterback was Kyler Murray in week 4. And, you know, these last 4 games have all basically come down to the final seconds, and you just mentioned the quarterbacks that they were facing. You know, the Eagles are sort of a separate deal with Kenny Pickett, but, you know, nonetheless, this has not been a really impressive group. I mean, 2 of these quarterbacks you just mentioned are third-string quarterbacks, not even the backups.
Right.
So it is definitely concerning. You know, I mean, the Cowboys averaged only like around 3.3 yards a carry, or it was under 4 at least, but they still got 150 on the ground, knowing that Trey Lance is a quarterback. And again, they don't have CeeDee Lamb out there. That's their big, you know, obviously Dallas is big offensive playmaker. He's out for the year, or, you know, I guess Dallas is out for the year at this point. Yeah, no, I think it's big time concerning. It's not just, you know, the run game they've struggled against all year. You know, look, if Lattimore's not back, that's a whole other story. But, yeah, I mean, you know, they've given up big plays to top receivers all season. I think it's a lot of concern. I think, but to your point, they've got to find a way to win time of possession. That's been a problem. Dallas ran about 20 more plays than Washington this week. And, you know, they talk about complementary football. There's nothing more complementary football than your offense controlling the clock and keeping your defense fresh. Look, obviously Joe Witt Jr. and Dan Quinn are going to have to strategize the heck out of this game. Baker Mayfield, he doesn't get mentioned in the MVP conversation, but he's had a pretty incredible season. Certainly Washington looks a lot different than the week one, but Tampa Bay didn't have their rookie running back, Bucky Irving, turn into one of the top running backs in the league this season at that stage as well. So, you know, Tampa's got some improvements in some areas, and Washington's just going to have to, you know, find a way to get a lot better. They're going to have to be, you know, the defensive front. They've got pieces, especially with John Allen back, but, you know, it just has not worked in tandem. And, you know, the offense, they've got to find a way to keep the ball, to move the chains, and have these dominant possessions. I mean, go back to the Atlanta game. To me, that game changed when Washington's first two possessions of the second half went for over 7 minutes apiece.
Yeah.
They dominated the time of possession, and by the time Atlanta kind of got back into any kind of rhythm, Washington had already, you know, taken the lead, and as opposed to being down a bunch. So, yeah, I mean, this is going to be a very tough task. Not saying it's impossible. Obviously, somehow they've got 12 wins, but, you know, Baker Mayfield's a much different situation than every quarterback they've faced for several weeks.
Well, look, what we just described is the formula for them, and they're capable of it. They showed it last Sunday night. They showed it the week before against Philadelphia. And they did it, by the way, overcoming 13 penalties last week, 5 turnovers the week before. But I give them a chance because we know offensively they have had games in which Tressway's essentially just been over there sitting on the bench. And so that's the formula. I mean, we don't have to act like defensively they're going to have to, you know, hold, you know, Bucky Irving to less than 4 yards a carry and pick off Baker Mayfield twice and hold Mike Evans under 50 yards. Offensively, they got to go for 400-plus yards. They got to be 50%-plus on third down. And on 10 possessions, they got to score on 6 of them. Then they got a shot. And they're capable of doing that against anybody.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, look, again, I've been asking you here on my podcast last few weeks, like, how good are they? Because it's, again, we just listed all the reasons as to what some concerns, but they have 12 wins. They keep winning. It doesn't matter who you're up against. They're finding ways to get it done. There's a certain amount of intestinal fortitude, as it were, to get it done. Not to mention, you know, number 5, you know, we may enter next season with Jaden Daniels being viewed as the number 1 quarterback in the conference. And, you know, that should that be the case, that's going to start, that's going to really take hold right now, because if he goes out there and does what he's been doing, not this game against Dallas, and assuming the injury is not a big deal, I'm not too worried about the lack of offense, but the, what he's been doing the last, you know, few weeks, let alone the whole season, is why this team has a fighting chance. And they all know it. They all talk about how, we know if we're in a game, but we've got 5. They don't. That's a big win for us, and it's proven out over and over and over again. I mean, look, Tampa's not infallible. They almost lost to the Saints yesterday. You know, they were trailing much of that game.
Yeah,
they came back to win, obviously. So, you know, this is, you know, I wouldn't even have been that worried if they had faced the Eagles. You know, because again, we just saw them beat them, but you know, they are competitive in every game, but you know, they just have to, they just don't have a ton of margin of error is the issue, and that's where it comes into play. They have to do the right things, because if they don't, you know, it's just going to be more challenging for them to overall stop Tampa.
All right, we'll talk Friday, maybe even before that. I appreciate it.
Always, man. See ya.
At Ben Standing on X, subscribe to The Athletic. Totally worth it. All right, we'll finish up with a look ahead to Sunday, or to Sunday night. Also, a look back to yesterday, some of the other key games that resulted in the playoff set that we have for next weekend. So we'll get to the other NFL stuff as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, The Team 980 and TheTeam980.com.